Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Now this passage here has to do with adultery. And the simple lesson today is, don't commit adultery. Now, let's read. Verse 24 actually continues from verse 23, so we'll read verse 23 so you know where we are. But the text we're studying today begins in verse 24. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief, if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Now what you're going to be doing today, if you continue on with this broadcast, you're going to be listening to me today, and while you're listening, your thoughts are going to be on another woman besides your wife. And you know that what you're thinking about is wrong. But as it turns out, there is a certain allurement and temptation in your heart. And there's a certain allurement in her eyes and mannerisms. So that no matter that you're hearing this, you can't quite shake what you're thinking about. Well, let me tell you something in no uncertain terms. You got to get those thoughts out of your head. You got to get those thoughts out of your head now. Because what you're thinking about doing and what you may actually be about to do is deadly. Now, our text that we're reading here, this Proverbs chapter 6, 24 to 35, we'll put it right out in front of you so that there is no mistaking the consequences of the sin you are contemplating. I'm a man, and I've been around plenty of men, and I've seen those eyes just lock on to a woman. You're sitting in a restaurant at a table having a meal together, carrying on a conversation that is involved. I mean, in other words, there's a fair exchange. There's no lull in it. Woman walks in the room, zap, eyes right on there. May not hold for very long. It's not just a casual glance. It's a look. You've seen it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. In a matter of seconds, many ideas can swirl in your head. We'll get this message of the text today. Burn this message indelibly in your brain and heart and let it be your guide till you die. It'll spare you. It'll spare you a tremendous amount of heartache and embarrassment, and it'll spare others as well. Your wife, your children, the woman's husband, and depending on your sphere of influence, maybe the lives of many other people. I mean, when this happens to a preacher, there are lots of people affected by it. So with this little introduction in mind, let's examine what the text says. And the first thing we want to notice is that there are several characteristics of this adulterous woman. And the first characteristic is she's evil. Now, she may not look evil. She's probably pretty. And you can't really tell her heart because she's gentle and sweet and everything that you wish you had in your wife that you don't have and all that other stuff that you allow yourself to think about, which really isn't true, but it just seems that way. She's an evil woman. And the question that really comes up is, why would you want to risk the trouble that might result when she decides after she's had you that she's ready to catch another man? Look at verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman. Listen, if she's willing to go with you and you're a married man, then why is she not willing later to dump you for a yet another man? And why is she not willing to mess up yet another relationship? She's evil. And the thing is, she'll have no conscience about what she's doing. Don't be mistaken about the quiet kind of woman whose thoughts come to mind. Just because she doesn't charge for her favor doesn't mean that she's not evil. If you're a married man and you have marital problems, you are not justified in experiencing the marital bliss that you think you should have in your marriage with another woman just because you don't think you'll get caught. And remember, the woman that you're thinking about, as pretty as she may be and as sweet as she may talk, is an evil woman if she will allow herself to go that path with you. Hollywood has popularized this little sin that we're talking about so much that people have even lost their conscience about it and don't think that there's possibility that God would even consider what they're thinking about doing evil, because after all, it's just a man and a woman. It's evil. That's what the text says. To keep thee from the evil woman. Don't forget it. An adulterous woman is not only evil, she's a flatterer. Look at verse 24. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. She knows how to sweet talk you. She's buttering you up when she says those sweet things to you. And don't believe that stuff, because if you read through Proverbs and you get to a verse like Proverbs chapter 29 verse 5, that verse right there will show you, even though it's about a man, that flattery is a net. It's a snare. It's a trap. When somebody sweet talks you like that, you don't have the slightest idea what their motive is. You get to thinking, oh, you're Mr. Machismo yourself, and that they're really after you because you're some kind of real hunk or whatever. You don't have any idea what's going on there. She may want money. She may want blackmail. She may want a husband and doesn't mind that she's going to have to destroy another marriage in order to get one. You don't know what she's after, but you can be sure of this. If she's having to flatter you in order to get your attention, she's up to something, because the flattering tongue is a net. Notice something else about her. She's more than likely, she's going to be beautiful. An adulterous woman is often a beautiful woman. Look at verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. I mean, you can be sure if she's a tramp or not the kind of woman you're interested in, you're not even going to give her a second thought. Your eye will turn and your mind will race when she, in your mind, is beautiful. And lust not after her beauty in thine heart, the Bible says. And Jesus, of course, told you if you did, that's adultery right there. What happens is her attractiveness catches your attention and appeals to your lust. And if it's not enough that she already has the look you're looking for, he says in verse 25, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. With her eyelids. You know, there's an awful lot of money and time spent fixing up the eyes with makeup because she's going to use her eyes to get your attention. And not only that, I was talking to a preacher. It's been some time ago now, but we were talking about something he called the spirit of the age. It's just the spirit of the age. And there are a lot of things like that, you know, going on today. Christians today would be, we'd probably be considered lost people by the Christians that lived 50 or 60 or 75 years ago, because we've allowed ourselves to indulge in a lot of things that they considered wrong just because they that was too much pleasure. They were a lot more straight-laced than we are and that kind of stuff. I mean, they'd look at us and say, there's no way you guys could be saved. I mean, such a change, you know, in three generations. But in any case, there are a lot of things that are the evidence of what he called the spirit of the age. And I said, when he used that phrase, I said, give me an example. Dude, what are you talking about? He said, well, it's like this. He said, you can go into a room of 300 people, and if there is somebody of the opposite sex, in other words, a woman can do this or a man can do this, go into a room, lots of people, and if the person walks in, man or woman, and notices somebody of the opposite sex all the way across the room and seems to have an interest in what they look like or what kind of face is that that's under that hair or what kind of body is that, you know, that or any of that stuff that's running through the mind, there's some sort of an uncanny connection there, that person all the way across the room will turn and look at you. And he said, that's just, it's just part of the spirit of the age. I'll tell you another, in case you're wondering about all the same, just to give you an idea, another spirit of the age is people's minds are beginning to go. They're not thinking rationally at all. Their minds are messed up. The Bible says when you get saved that God gives you a sound mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And you know what? The evidence is that a lot of people are not with God because their minds are really fouled up. Really fouled up. What was this deal, this case just recently about some guy that, killed a 10-year-old girl or something up in Oklahoma and put her in some kind of a bucket or something because he was going to cut her up and eat her. Oh, just nasty, grotesque. What is that thing? It is absolute mental derangement, insanity is what it is. And Brother Roloff, when he used to preach years ago when he was still alive, he said America's an insane asylum run by the inmates. The mind is going. That's the spirit of the age. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the message, but I'm just giving you, you know, you may be thinking like I was, what do you mean spirit of the age? One of it is the sexual attraction, and the other is this lost mind and some other things. But that stuff's going on, and he says, you better watch it, man. If she uses those eyes to catch your attention, to let you know that she's available and interested, you better watch out. You'll destroy your marriage. An adulterous woman is not only evil and a flatterer and oftentimes beautiful, but she's also a whorish woman, verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. She's after you. You see, she's a fornicator. She fits the definition well. If she's willing to sleep with you and not be married to you and sleep with you to ruin your marriage, then that's exactly what she is. She is a whore because she has more than one man, or puts you in a situation where you have more than one woman. She's a fornicator. And look what she's going to do. You get hooked up with her, she'll bring you to a piece of bread. She'll hunt for the precious life. There's more to what she wants than meets the eye. Now, when this thing about coming to a piece of bread and hunting for the precious life, this is a clue. Solomon is preparing you for something that you're going to study in greater detail in Proverbs chapter 7. And to prepare you for that, I could speak about it today, just about the things that are here, but since we're going to hit it again in Proverbs chapter 7, I won't use this time to preach it. But you know what you're getting ready to hear about? The description of this woman who is a flatterer, who is evil, who is beautiful, and who is whorish, fits the description perfectly of Mystery Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And this idea of bringing a man to a piece of bread, that's part of the communion. She's already got the wine cup if you read Revelation chapter 17. And the piece of bread goes along with it. And hunt for the precious life, that adulterous woman, that whorish woman in Revelation chapter 17 is hunting the precious life. She's after the martyrs. That Bible says there in Revelation 17 that she's drunken with the blood of martyrs. And you know how she gets people in her trap? She's evil, she's a flatterer, she's beautiful, and she's whorish. And the Bible calls Mystery Babylon the great whore. See, he's telling you there's more than just a natural woman in this thing. But since we're talking about a great sin that goes on in our society today that's been so popularized by Hollywood, we need to stick with the lesson. All right? You know, if you're so unfortunate to get into one of these relationships, or you're so unfortunate to have gotten into one of these problems, then you need to know what the results are. Going into your neighbor's wife is very costly. it's very deadly. It will produce all kinds of problems that are listed here in our text. And I, you know, Lord willing, you've stayed with me this far through the lesson, and you'll stay with me the rest of the way, because this thing ought to guide you till you die. I don't know how old you are. I don't know how you are. I remember one preacher was said to his congregation, he was 60 when he fell into trouble, but he used to tell his congregation, he said, "I'm very careful around you women that are between the ages of 15 and 60. I may have even told you about him. And when he got 60 years old, he said to the congregation, he said, "I think I'm going to have to widen that range." He said, "Some of you 60-year-old women are starting to look awfully good." You know what? By the time that guy turned 61, one of them looked so good, he left his own wife and took up with this woman and devastated that church. That church went through a split. Those people scattered to the winds. It was terrible. Why? Because he'd read these. He'd probably preached on this verse of Scripture, but the thing didn't burn into his heart and didn't burn into his mind well enough to keep him out of the trouble. Now, if it's going to happen to a preacher that preaches on the thing, imagine how easy it is to happen to somebody who is not so much in the public view, if you know what I mean. In other words, who may think he can get away with something like this a little more easily. You can't. You can't. The trouble is just massive that comes your way if you try to get into this. And hopefully I've caught you on a day when you were really thinking about doing something like this. And hopefully the Holy Spirit is going to use this message to drive this thing as a wedge right between you and whatever woman you've been thinking about to stop you from this. We were preaching on the street in Mobile, Alabama years ago, and we were preaching out in front of a bar, and a young man came by. And while we were preaching, he stopped. We began to talk. And I asked him some questions concerning the gospel. The guy had been saved, but he was terribly backslidden, and he was lonely, and he was heading in there to get a drink. And he was going down there to look for a woman is exactly what he was going to do. And we talked to him, and we prayed with him, and that guy looked at us with tears in his eyes, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "I want to thank you, gentlemen." He said, "You have just spared this young man from future misery. I was going in there to get drunk and look for a woman for the night." And he said, "I appreciate it." Turned around and walked, got in his car, and drove off. Well, I'm hoping that the message that we're preaching today for you will have the same effect on you, if you're thinking about this, that it had on that young man. It'll stop you in your tracks before you even go a step further into destroying your life and destroying your marriage and messing up your kids and every other kind of thing. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27, the Bible says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" The answer is no. "Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" The answer is no. "So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent." You're going to get burned. I mean, we use that expression. When somebody gets ripped off, they got burned. When somebody gets into a situation like this, they get burned. And you're going to get burned if you go on with this any further. "In the same way that playing with fire will burn your clothes and walking on coals will burn your feet, you'll get burned in this thing." I remember my son walked into some coals one time. It was totally by accident. But boy, you talk about scorch and hurt. We had burned a pile of pine needles in the backyard one day. And the next day, about middle of the afternoon, middle of the day on a Saturday, he was running around out there and playing in the yard, and he saw all that white ash there and decided to kick it up with his bare feet and got on some kind of a hot coal in the bottom of that ash. I am telling you, man, he came in there screaming and hollering and whelping. Fortunately, just put a blister on his foot, nothing any more serious than that. But, man, you talk about waking up a little boy's tender feet. Well, what God's telling you in this passage is the same way he came in yelping with that heat in his feet is the same way you're going to come in yelping after you find out what the experience with this other woman is like. Don't go there. It'll burn you. Not only that, it'll destroy you. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 30 to 32. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. If a person broke into your house and stole $5 or stole a loaf of bread and a package of ham so he could legitimately get himself something to eat. I mean, not for drugs, not for booze, not for anything else, just because he was so hungry that he could not eat. You know what? You wouldn't despise him. I mean, you'd be upset, you know. You wouldn't despise him. And if the guy got caught, in verse 31, if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. That's the law. He's got to pay back. If he stole a loaf of bread, got to pay back seven of them. If he stole $5, he's got to pay back 35. That's the penalty. He shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all his substance of his house, if that's what he has to do. I mean, the fact that he broke into your house to get something indicates he didn't have much to begin with. And so if he had anything of value that could be sold, he would have to sell all of it in order that he could pay the sevenfold, if that's what it took him to pay it. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Where that guy loses his all of his substance, you lose your soul. He loses his substance. Did you see that? You lose your soul. Listen. Listen. You cannot stand the loss. You can't stand the loss. You can't imagine the heartache. I've seen it. I'm in the ministry. Been in the ministry 14 years full time. Oh, man. You just don't know the tragedy. And being in the ministry this period of time and had the opportunity to visit with people who have gotten into this kind of thing, this type of thing is very, very destructive. And when it causes a marriage to break, and it doesn't always cause them to break. Most often it does, but not always. When it does, I'm telling you, it is a wreck. It is a wreck. It's hard on the kids. It's hard on the two people that were in the marriage. It's hard on the new couple. You know why? If a woman can drag you away from your wife, in her heart, she always has to concern herself with the possibility that some other woman might drag you away from her. And then what? So, man, you talk about complicated. You just don't even need to go there. Okay, verse 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Listen, if you do this with another woman, not only will it burn you and destroy you, it'll wound you. It'll wound you. Why? Well, what's the wound from? A fight with her husband? Sure, the guy comes in. Look at verse 34. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. What's his problem? Verse 34. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. So you go out with his wife and succumb to her allurement and succumb to your lust. I mean, it takes two, right? And then he finds out about it. He wants to come in there and knock your block off. I mean, honestly, the thing he wants to do is kill you. That's what he wants to do. And men have died from this. If you get away with a wound instead of death, you're a lucky man. Because there is no ransom, there is no gift, there is no amount of money that's going to satisfy the rage and vengeance of his jealousy. You can't appease him. He can't be bought. I know of a situation that happened. It's just been many, many years ago, but a woman was, she was bought off. She and her husband actually were bought off. I mean, the family had money, and they wanted her to be with their son. I know it sounds strange. Sounds almost like something in the movies, but it really happened. And so they bought her husband off. And you know that poor old sucker died a drunk? He never was satisfied. I mean, literally, his heart burned and ached over what happened to him. But that's the way these things go. You know the wound will come because you'll have trouble with the Lord. The Lord will chasten you. He'll whoop you. And not only will you be wounded from this, a wound, he says, but also you'll be dishonored for this. Dishonored. Look at verse 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You get found out in a situation like this, it'll ruin your character because people won't trust you. Look what happened to Clinton when he was in office. I mean, they had an impeachment out for him. I think they succeeded. I don't understand everything there is to know about how this stuff works politically, but I think they actually had the impeachment, and then whatever else they had to go through in order to get him out of office, that part didn't work. Well, what was it all about? Over adultery. Over him doing exactly this very thing here. He thought he could get away with that stuff and nobody would know, and it all came out. Even the gory details about what happened when they were involved with each other. despicable, defiling. Our nation shouldn't have had to listen to that kind of stuff, no matter what you think of the man. Listen, your reproach will not be wiped away. I'm talking about it today. They still talk about what happened. Listen, depending who you are and how many people you know and influence, they will always remember the trouble you got into. Always. I know of a situation, a fellow that I know, and he speaks to me from time to time about various things. We're friends. And we have a mutual acquaintance who got into this situation, and even to this day, and it happened years ago, the subject still comes up. Why? There's a reproach there. There's dishonor there, and it doesn't go away. Listen, I don't know, man. I don't know what's burning in your heart. But hey, maybe I've been talking to men this whole time because that's the way the text comes. Maybe you're a woman and you're about to get into a situation like this because you're a pretty woman and you never thought that what you were about to do was evil, and you've caught a man with your eyes and you're thinking about doing this. Hey, don't go there. Don't do it. The Bible says if you would allow yourself to do that, the Bible says you're a whorish woman. You don't think of yourself as a whore. Don't do that. Don't do that. And listen, any man that would do this with you without being unmarried and without being faithful and without covenanting your relationship in vows and guaranteeing by his vows that he's going to stay with you and do these things as unto the Lord by being saved to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, hey, you don't even need to go there. It's not for you. People in these situations get burned, they get destroyed, they get wounded, they get dishonor. Stay away from it. It is absolutely not for you. Say, man, but I'm just burning. I understand that. You're going to have to allow the grace of God to minister to that desire until God brings you the person, or in your case, if you're married, restores your marriage. You're going to have to go to work on that and get your eyes off of the thoughts you've been having concerning the very problem here, adultery. Don't go there. Whatever you do, do not go there. I hope this has been a help to you. Hopefully you weren't even thinking about it, but if you were, I hope this message has stopped you in your tracks. Lord willing, it has.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.